Okay, and welcome to another microbrew episode of the Three Drinks In podcast. I'm your host, Vince. Over there we have Phil. There's Phil. Talking again today about the latest episode of Star Trek Discovery. It aired almost a week ago, so we're a bit behind on this one. This one is called The Wolf Inside, and we'll get to all that in just a second. But before we do, I want to remind you all that we are available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, and TuneIn Radios. Search for Three Drinks In Podcast, and you'll find us. Tell your friends, leave a review, share us, tweet us. We're at the number 3 Drinks In Pod on Twitter, at 3 Drinks In Pod. 3 Drinks In Podcast on Instagram and Facebook, and 3drinksinpodcast@gmail.com if you want to contact us. All right, that's everything. All right, episode number 11, The Wolf Inside. Mm-hmm. What did you think of this week's installment?
It was fine. I couldn't figure out why they were still in this place. They have all these depressing voiceovers where it's, you know, she's still behind enemy lines pretending to be her evil self. And it's like, you know, it's hard to be here. I feel myself slipping. And well, they haven't done any, you know, I don't understand why it's a problem, but whatever.
I mean, it's terrifying. I could imagine that to be rather unsettling if you have to pretend to be evil, like really evil.
Yeah, and they show her like having to execute people by beaming them into space, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get the sense, it was the same before when we were in the regular universe, is that you don't get the sense that the ship is going anywhere or doing anything. They're just sort of standing around. So it's like, why were these people being executed? I don't know.
Yeah,
they
literally.
Didn't say anything.
Yeah, they just appear to be floating. Like the ship is just in space, floating in space. That's a good point. They're not going anywhere. They're not doing anything.
They're not going anywhere or doing anything. I'm not saying that, like, they have to be meeting a new alien every week and examining human relationships to that. I'm just saying they just look like they're a standstill. At least in the old ones, they would be like, we're on our way to such and such a star base for repairs or for whatever. But every time you see the ship, it's just floating next to a colorful nebula. I'm like, oh, okay.
It's a very internal show, right? Like, it's not, I mean, if Star Trek, the original series, and to a certain extent, Next Generation, were very external shows. It didn't, like, have to do with the characters at all. The characters didn't change all that much, if at all. This was actively resisted by Roddenberry for a variety of reasons, but chief among them was the fact that that's just not how they did TV shows back then. You ran around and you did stuff and, you know, it was kind of like a Western. You know, you came to this town and helped these folks out. You went to that town, you explored this and that. And everything happened outside the characters and nobody, you know, really had a individual personal struggle until you get to like the fourth season of Next Generation when Picard gets assimilated by the Borg and the writers were like, listen, we can't do this. This giant two-part episode where this happens to him and then we never talk about it ever again. That's just ridiculous. We have to do some kind of a follow-up. And they did an episode called Family, which was great. And it was small and internal and it had to do with, you know, the individual characters and how they were dealing with what happened, but nothing happened to them. It just, they had to come to grips. It was all like a very mental exercise. It was a talkie episode. So nothing ever happens on this show either until like the hand of the writer comes in and shoves the plot into a certain direction. And it's all very like what's happening inside her head. And she's talking in her log and she's talking to Tyler and, you know.
Yeah, well, there have to be external forces on them forcing them to do things. If they're not going to go anywhere or do anything new, then what is the issue?
I mean,
and the point is that they're having a hard time in this mirror universe, but I don't know what they're doing. They're just sort of walking around.
I mean, I think the issue was they couldn't get the information they had downloaded from the Shinzo's computer to the Discovery so that they could use that information to figure out how to get themselves back to their universe. They couldn't send an email, basically, was the problem. They had the
Right,
information
I can't
on a hard
transmit
disk
this.
and they couldn't send
Yeah.
it. Okay. It's not a ridiculous problem. It's just not a great one either. Yet they could, like, here's the thing. They could talk to each other. You know, they could have a conversation over their holo talky things, and they'd say, "Is this a secure channel?" "Yes, it's a secure channel." You can do that, but you can't send the data.
No, because I think they said it was like classified. Like, why would you be sharing that with everybody else or
What?
something?
No. Okay,
You know,
sure.
and like, what's the Discovery doing? They're just hanging out waiting for it, right?
Pretty much making repairs, it seems, and dealing with the crazy guy, and now the dead doctor and the crazy Stamets, and you know they're trying to fix him. That, you know, half this episode was about Tilly trying to do what the doctors can't do because it's a spore problem, and I don't know what the hell that was about, but sure. I
Yeah.
mean, that very rarely, if ever, have I listened to something that was said in a Star Trek episode and went, "What?" Like the technobabble doesn't bother me. I'm used to it. And it's generally written pretty well. It's hard to write technobabble because you have to write enough to really make it seem plausible, whatever it's doing. Like one of the funnier things in, I remember the episode of TNG, Ship in a Bottle, where Moriarty, the hologram, who's like super smart, takes control of the holodeck and convinces Picard that he's. So they go back and forth about trying to trick Moriarty into thinking they're really going to take him off the holodeck. And Picard goes into the holodeck to talk to the Countess von what's her, like his girlfriend. And he says to her, "What I have to do is get them to decouple the Heisenberg compensators and allow them to re-scramble randomly." And it was written in such a way that I knew he was just making it up. The character was making that up, and it didn't. It was to him, it was gibberish. But in a different scene, when Geordi is like when the ship is falling all down all around them, and he yells out something equally as absurd. But you know he's totally serious, and like, and you can kind of go, yeah, they gotta decouple the thing to get the inertial dampers back online before they can go. Like you buy it. When Tilly said what she did about what was really going on in Stamets's brain, it made fuck all sense to me, and
You have to really sell that stuff.
yeah, and she fucking sucks at it, and the writing sucks, and I was just like, guys, this is like. It's sort of the easiest thing to do, even though it's not easy. It's just when you write Star Trek to make it kind of believable is the whole point. The entire reason the show has been around for 110 years is because we all bought it. Like this is your one job. If you do nothing else, you have to convince me that this is a real place. You know, it has to seem moderately plausible, and that's why it works and why people get invested in and dress up like these people and go to conventions. It's because on some level, it's yeah, this could happen. I believe this, you know. And when she said that about that, I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
I've had a hard time. I've never liked the mirror universe because it's a gimmick that gets old, and the longer you stare at it, the more you realize how many holes it has. And the idea was that you knew the people going over into the mirror universe, and so you could laugh or be horrified at their counterparts. And the problem is we don't know these characters long enough to care as much that things are so hard. And every time they like see someone they recognize and they freeze and they go, "Oh my God, it's the mirror version of so and so. Oh, well, the relationship I used to have with them, I don't have that relationship. That there's no connection for me as the audience," especially at the end when she sees her old captain is the emperor or whatever, and she just stares at her and just like, "I don't give a shit. I barely knew this person."
Yeah,
Yes, they were close, but also she mutinied against her, and that's all I know about them. They were friends and she mutinied. Whatever.
they're kind of making you do a lot of the legwork there. You're right. That's a good way to look at it, because like, yeah, there's you don't have a long-standing relationship with the characters to understand how they relate to each other. And like, you're supposed to, and this is a problem in general, that she's so upset about Captain Georgiou's death. I get it on a superficial level that she knew the person and that she was her mentor, and like, because they told me that. But I didn't get to see any of that. So whenever she's deeply affected by anything related to this, dead character, I kind of have to remind myself. It's not automatic. I don't go, oh, wow, yeah. Nah. So, like, I'm sitting there trying to figure out who's the emperor going to be. They keep talking about this faceless emperor, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, wouldn't it be kind of cool if it was like Hoshi?
Yeah.
If they, because they do this kind of sort of, jerk off fan service stuff to try to keep us interested. And the last time we were in the Mirror Universe was with the Enterprise show. And that's how we left off with Hoshi in charge. And wouldn't it be kind of crazy if she was like 98,000 years old and she could use some technology to make herself age, or like not die but age forever? Like, there's a million cool things you could do. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to just shoehorn this character back in. And I was like, oh, they went with, oh, all right, yeah, I guess that's who I
That's the whole
like.
point of doing it there, is that because like for a second I just thought it would be some new person, like just some random person. I'm the emperor, okay. And then when you realize the whole concept of being in a mirror universe is to see yourself, it's a mirror universe. I'm like, yeah, they're gonna put someone we know but we don't care about. Oh, it's her, okay,
Yeah, like
whatever.
they want you to go, they want you to gasp at that moment, and that's never going to happen. And if you gasped at that moment, you're a moron.
Well, not in episode 11 of a brand new show.
Exactly.
Maybe 5 years in.
That.
Like the thing with Barile, they did the Deep Space Nine episode with Barile, where his mirror counterpart comes to our universe, and he's a bad guy in that universe, of course. He used to be a priest. That's even a little bit slightly better because he'd been gone a long time, and you'd seen many episodes with them together. So to have him suddenly show up, be a bad guy after a huge time apart from this, I guess the guy wasn't doing anything, he was free that week. That was all like, oh, that guy, remember him? Yeah, she had a relationship with that guy. I remember watching it. That's even more affecting than what this was,
Oh
so.
yeah, I actually like that bit. When he learned that like, who like that he was really a priest in this universe, and he kind of like there's like moments of redemption for him, and I think he goes out in a blaze of glory at the end of the episode too. He dies again, which is funny.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
that's what you can do, but not in episode 11 with
Yeah.
a huge month and a half gap between episodes. I mean, it just doesn't have the impact.
No. What did you think of the way that L Lieutenant Love Interest was finally revealed to be the guy we all knew he's been for the last 3 months?
I mean, we all knew he was, sadly, the internet ruined it for everybody, but also, we're in the mirror universe and we have other things to worry about now.
Yeah,
So is
it sort of
that impact
complicates things.
it's lessened a little bit because that's like another show's problem. We're on this show now.
Yeah, that was, pre-New Year. Like that's we have a whole different issue now.
Yeah.
I kind of thought it was one of the more interesting things that they did, in that they made the Mirror Universe Vok the leader of a, multiracial rebellion, which, yeah, I mean, that makes sense that, it's the inverse of what he was in the regular universe, which was a unbelievably racist xenophobe who's trying to destroy everybody. But it just sort of, yeah, you're right. It didn't really fit too. Like they're in the middle of a negotiation for like, okay, we're gonna help you, and bearded Sarek comes over and reads her mind, and then realizes, no, she's telling the truth. And I think, okay, that's kind of, and then all of a sudden he's like, I'm gonna fuck this up right now because I'm gonna have a weirdo flashback and snap out of
Yeah, he's
my
got
trance.
plotitis. Yeah,
Yeah, it's got plotitis all of a sudden.
oh no. We gotta get like a sound effect for every time I roll my eyes, like a slide whistle or something. You know, because I know people can't see me, but like they're the bearded Zarek. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's like a 40-year-old running joke now, everyone.
Oh,
Anyway,
Christ.
yeah, you know, it is interesting, but it's so far from removed from everything else now, you're not quite sure what to do. You know, like how many episodes is it going to take to wrap that up? What other nonsense is going to get in the way?
Or like, is that going to be what the show, like, it just, it feels like that's going to fight and take attention away from everything else,
Right.
like it's already been doing. So what's your show about? I still, like, we still don't know. This is 11 episodes.
I don't know.
I don't know. Like, is
Because
it a, it's hard to, it's just, it,
they had the whole thing with Stamets, so he meets his body double inside the mycelium network for about, there's like a 10 second scene where he's walking around and it looks like space, or his, like that's where his consciousness is. And he turns and he goes, "Hey, it's the other Stamets. It's finally, I finally can see you. Let's get to work." I'm like, oh, who are all these people? Like Indiana
Oh.
Jones's father. And like, oh my God, now what is this all about?
I forgot about that. Yeah. I is that the mirror universe him, you know, sort of, what's the word? Like non-corporeally inside the spore thing. Like, I'm still not buying this spore thing. I'm just not. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I understand the idea of warp drive. I get it. You know, but like the way that they've tried to explain this so many times, and now they talk about it like we should be taking it for granted. Like, we've explained this to you. This makes sense. We hooked this guy up to this machine, and because his DNA was similar to that weirdo monster thing that killed 18 people in the first couple episodes, he can now use the spores from the mushrooms that we grow to travel anywhere. That's ridiculous. And you know, people will go, "Well, gee, most of Star Trek's kind of ridiculous." Yeah, but they did a better job of explaining the whole thing. Like, I understand how an engine works. An engine makes a thing go. Like, I don't know how my car works. I have no idea. You know, I related to that Dane Cook joke about how the mechanic can tell you that you've got unicorns in your engine, and you just have to believe them because you don't know, and you
Right.
can't take the thing apart even if you wanted to. But I understand that you put an engine into a thing with wheels, it'll propel the wheels in a certain direction based on where you turn the steering wheel. I get, I'm okay with that. Same thing with the starship or a submarine or whatever. But this just doesn't make any fucking sense. And they've gone from explaining it a lot to not doing that at all and assuming that you're gonna go along with them. And
Well, it's
I'm
just, you know, we could explain it till kingdom come. It's made up, so you just have to get over it.
it's also weak too. I mean, you could explain the warp drive until the end of the world too, and it's less of a weak thing. Like, the one thing I thought was kind of interesting, when I was reading in my, you know, like, old Star Trek encyclopedia from years ago, was that excuse me, the idea of the subspace bubble that forms around the ship whenever you go to warp, and that's to compensate for Einstein's relativity. I'm like, oh, okay, that's totally insane, but nonsense. But I get it. You have to give yourself a negative mass so that when you approach the speed of light, you don't become infinitely large. Like, it just, like, little bits like that, you know, throw me a bone about these mycelium spores, and then I'll go with you. But if you don't, then I'm just gonna stand there looking around and going, I don't know where we're going. I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, it's a magic system that lets you go wherever you want to. But the new fan theory is, have you heard this with Captain Lorca?
No, what's this new thing that's probably true?
And I hope this is true because it would make mo much more sense. So the new fan theory is he's originally from the Mirror Universe and he switched places with his doppelganger and has been on the USS Discovery trying to be a good person. He's not good at it, But that would explain his insanity and problems and the decisions he's made. And before he was about to turn himself in, he sent himself to the mirror universe with the rest of the crew.
Huh. That actually would
Because,
make a lot of sense in terms of why they're there to begin with.
right. And in the mirror universe, he's like disappeared. He's presumed missing and gone. So they don't have a version of him anywhere. And everyone's like, well, maybe that's where he's originally from. Okay, it's probably not true, but I could buy that. It would make much more sense of as to why he's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's been our issue for a long time.
Yeah, it's bothered me a lot.
It's
He's either written poorly or he's a complete psychopath. Because when they first get there, he makes some mention as to like, it's amazing that, I got to this universe and it turns out I'm as awful as I am in our universe. Wink, wink. Maybe that's because that's where he's from. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, let's just assume that's true for a minute. There is the additional problem of what to do then. Like, do they, 'cause like the whole thing about the mirror universe is that it's got to be a short-term thing. You're never there for very long. Like the longest they were ever in it was the two episode arc in Enterprise, where they did it. I thought that was really clever too. Like they didn't bother with, an accident that takes the people from the real place to the evil place. They just did an episode set entirely in this universe, and it had its own story and its own set of problems. It had nothing to do with the characters that you knew. You just had the actors playing different versions of their characters, and it was fun. I enjoyed it. I didn't love it, but it was one of the better ones I'd seen. So if they're not going to do the rest of the show from the mirror universe, and if that's actually if that, that that fan theory is correct, do we ditch the evil Lorca and get nice guy Lorca and then just go back to our regular universe with him and the whole show is different? That's why I'm certain that that's probably not what they're going to do, because there's literally nothing to happen after that. That's like a fun movie or a mini series or something like that, where you take this guy and you go, gee, why is he a psychopath? And then you go, oh, that's why. End of show.
Yeah, no, I don't know. 'Cause they still have the issue of switching places. Like maybe the good Lorca was there and that, like now he's in the mirror universe too, or I don't know, but whatever.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. Give me a headache.
Is he supposed to be Southern?
He did do a little bit of a southern accent there.
Like all of a sudden he had this Southern accent. I'm like, what is that from? Was he supposed to be from the South?
No, that was simply just not someone not paying attention to their vocal
Yeah.
coaching that day. Yeah, I didn't know what the hell that was going on there.
Because, like, I know he's not American, but there's a big difference between generic American accent that actors do and, hey, y'all,
Yeah,
we're on Star Trek.
he's definitely doing a generic American accent.
Right.
It's very sort of like people from the Midwest are considered to have basically no accent whatsoever. There's little vocal inflections that they do, and I remember talking to somebody about it who was an acting coach, and she was like, yeah, like it's about being polite when you're saying absolutely anything, even if you're telling someone just to go screw. It's that's the one thing you can do, and they go, oh, you're from Chicago or outside of Chicago, not from Chicago. But yeah, he's got that for sort of very middle of the country kind of gruff and not a trace of. But yeah, all of a sudden he was doing this good old boy for a second. I'm like, wait, what the hell was that?
Yeah, I really was like, huh? So.
But all right, well, I guess we'll see what happens moving forward.
Just a few more, not too
Yeah,
many.
four, in fact. Yeah, we'll see.
Cool.
Anything else we have to add?
Not on this end.
All right. All right. Well, if you want to share what you thought of this episode, you can tweet us. We are at the number 3 Drinks In Pod on Twitter. That's at 3 Drinks In Pod. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radios. Just search for 3 Drinks In Podcast. You'll find us right there. Leave us a rating and maybe even a review. That'd be very helpful. And if you want to email us, it's 3DrinksInPodcast@gmail.com. All right. That's it. We'll see you guys next time.
Yeah. Take care, everybody.
Bye.